Hello, out there in Radio Land. This is Chuck Shaden with Recollections at 50. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as we tune in to a few nostalgic moments from a half century of Those Were the Days programs. Over the years, we've always had a lot of fun on or around Halloween when we devoted our program to specific seasonal broadcasts and always included a generous helping of mystery and horror old-time radio shows. Quite often, our show was disrupted or interrupted by strange sounds, frightening situations, and surprise visitors. Somehow, our pal Ken Alexander, a man of many talents and voices, usually joined us to play an important role in these events. One year, Ken conducted the entire program while I was away, here in a composite from the Halloween broadcast of October 28, 1995, is how he handled the assignment.
As we said, Chuck isn't here today, but we'll do our best to get along without him. He enjoys being here every week, especially for the Halloween show and the holiday shows, special shows, but he had to be involved in the Radio Hall of Fame activities here over the weekend, so he wasn't able to make it. But did I hear a cat? It sounded like a cat in here, but it is a cat. Look, a black cat. Here, kitty cat. Oh, such a pretty black kitty cat. Kitty, 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 kitty. So appropriate for Halloween, too. A pretty black kitty cat. Such a nice kitty cat. Oh, do you want to go and see Len? You want to go and see Len? Oh, such a friendly kitty cat. Oh, isn't it nice? You want to go and see Larry? Oh, Larry always did have a way with animals. I wonder whose cat that is, anyway. I've never seen her around here before. In fact, you hardly ever see a cat
around. Did you know that an icicle inserted in the brain will leave no trace?
Hey, Boris, come in. How are you?
Forrest. Very well, thank you. And you, gentlemen?
We're all fine, thanks. Say, is that your black cat?
Yes, I was just taking her for a walk.
And you stopped in here. Well, can you stay for part of the program today?
I intend to stay here for the entire program.
Oh, yeah?
You see, I've been staying in my cave for the past few days. And the cave is so far underground that the radio reception is rather poor. So I decided to come here and listen.
Well, you're not having your Halloween party tonight in the cave, are you?
Oh, certainly not. The party will be at my house.
Well, we're all looking forward to that. I remember just how your Halloween...
You do?
Yes, there were big cobwebs in all the corners of the ceiling.
Yes.
And all the windows were streaked and foggy.
Yes.
And the only light was provided by a few flickering candles.
Yes.
Rats and lizards were scampering around the floor.
Yes.
And you had a skeleton hanging from one of the rafters, too.
Yes, I did.
And eerie shadows danced on the walls.
Yes.
You did a fantastic job with those Halloween decorations, Boris.
I didn't have any Halloween decorations.
But you did.
Oh, yes, I did. There was a jack-o'-lantern in the front window.
Well, it was a fine party. And the food.
Tonight I'm serving sandwiches, deviled ham and deviled eggs.
Sounds good to me.
Well, now, what kind of show have you planned this afternoon?
It's a real Halloween spectacular today, Boris.
Scary material?
Our lineup is so scary that you'll probably faint from sheer terror before it's over.
Are you kidding me?
No. We have some pretty frightful stuff on the agenda today.
Oh, you do you? Well, it won't frighten me.
I'll make you a little bet that before 5 o'clock this afternoon, you'll faint from fright.
Nonsense. I'll remain in this chair until 5 o'clock, so that you can watch me every minute.
And when you pass out, Len and Larry here can be my witnesses.
Do your worst. You won't frighten me.
Well, we're going to try. Well, we're going to have an edition of the Whistler from 1945, one of the great radio mystery series. What is that noise, anyway? Here's some digging or something. Anyway, the Whistler coming up in a few moments here. I thought I heard somebody digging. Did you hear that, Len? Somebody digging? No?
Yes, we'll send it to you.
Well, anyway, I wonder if whatever it was, I thought I heard somebody digging, but that must have been my imagination.
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, it's you, Digger.
Greetings, Alexander. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Thanks, but may I ask what you were doing with that shovel?
Certainly. I'm preparing a final resting place for this afternoon's show. It seems to be dying. Why don't you try to liven it up a bit, if you'll pardon the expression?
I'd like to, if we could find a frightening guest for the show, maybe a witch or a ghost.
Perhaps I can find a ghost for you just a few blocks away at the county building.
Oh, those payrollers? No, they show up only on payday.
Indeed.
But tell me, Digger, are you going to Boris's Halloween party tonight?
Most assuredly. The jack-o'-lanterns, the ghost stories, the donuts and cider, the children playing trick-or-treat. I adore Halloween parties. They're so gay.
Yeah, have you had any trick-or-treaters over at your place so
yes,
far?
Yes, a group of young ruffians pilfered a sign from a travel agency and hung it in the window of my business establishment. Oh, I was furious.
Why, Digger? What did the sign say, anyway?
Ready to go? Let us make the arrangements.
Well, we'll see you at Boris's party tonight, huh?
If you need transportation, I'll be glad to take you along in my business vehicle. You'd have to ride in the back, but there's plenty of leg room. You'll be able to stretch out.
Well, thanks, Digger. I'll let you know if I should need a lift over there.
Cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Well, so long, Digger. A lot of talk about trick-or-treat on Halloween. I'll talk about that for just a couple of minutes. I don't know when that started, but when we lived in Chicago on the West Side when I was a kid back in the 30s and 40s, we had never heard of trick-or-treat. It wasn't until we moved out to the suburbs in 1949, or maybe sometime in the early 50s, we started. The little kids would come around, you know, little kids, to the door and on Halloween and ask for candy or something, trick-or-treat. We'd never heard of that before. I don't know why it was. Around when we lived on the West Side in the 30s and early 40s, some of the boys would go around to an apartment building in the lobby and ring doorbells and then, you know, run. And then they did ring the doorbells and take off. I couldn't see any sense to that. I never did it myself because, you know, what's the point? We're in the 20th century. The people up there in the apartments weren't going to think that that a ghost had rung the doorbell. You know, they were too sophisticated for that. They would think, oh, some kids, you know. They would just know it's a kid. You know, they go to the door. There's nobody there. No, some kids. So what have we accomplished by ringing the doorbell? You know, nothing. So I never did that. But my buddies used to do that. Another thing they do, take some soap. The only graffiti you'd see in those days, it wasn't applied by spray paint. They'd take a bar of soap and make little squiggles on a window of a store or maybe the window of a basement apartment. The window was just above the sidewalk there where the kids could reach it. They wouldn't write any words. They'd just make little squiggly marks with a bar of soap. And you'd see those all over around Christmas time. But again, you know, the people who lived there would know a ghost hadn't done it. They're just some kids. So what's the point? You know, I was not a regular kid, I guess. I just didn't go along with that kind of stuff. But it was a lot of fun. We used to go to, in grammar school in the lower grades, we were allowed to come in costume on Halloween. I think in the morning we would come in regular civvies. We'd go home for lunch, and then we were allowed to come in costume in the afternoon after lunch, and the teacher would try to figure out who we were with our costumes. Sometimes she wasn't able to say, this Ken or this Bobby or who is this?
Excuse me, is there any place nearby where I can get a bite?
Hey, look, guys, it's Count Dracula.
Good afternoon.
Do you want to take off your cape? Stay a while?
Thank you, but I must not stay for very long.
Well, it's nice to see you anyway. What are you doing downtown today?
My dog and I are stalking victims on the street.
Ah, what streets do you use when you're out stalking your victims?
I stick to the main arteries.
Yeah, well, what breed of dog is that, Count?
He's a bloodhound, of course.
What's his name?
Bruno.
Oh, may I pet him?
If you wish, you may pet him.
Oh, here, Bruno. Puppy dog. Puppy dog. Nice puppy dog. Be nice, puppy dog. Bruno. Count, does he bite? Would you call him off? Bruno, be nice. Puppy dog, puppy dog.
Bruno, sit. If there is any biting to be done, I'll do it.
Oh, you just saved my life.
I've been listening to your program. Very nice.
Thank you. But how could you be listening? You said you've been out stalking victims.
I have this personal radio. It's called a Stalkman.
I see. Well, I suppose I'll be seeing you at Boris's party tonight, huh?
Yes, of course. Now I must be going. But before I depart, trick or treat.
You too? Well, here, take a couple of these miniature Snickers bars.
Ah, thank you. They're just bite-sized.
Yeah, now don't forget to floss between your fangs. So you're stalking victims and trick-or-treating at the same time, huh?
Yes, I went to the supermarket a moment ago to trick or treat. The produce manager offered me a rutabaga. I declined his offer.
You turned down a rutabaga? Why?
Because you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Yeah, so long, Count. I'll see you later. Oh, brother. These people stop in. Count is a nice guy, though. He's a little odd, but a lot of us, you know, a lot of people are. They're not all the same. You have 2 billion, 5 billion different kinds of personalities, but the bottom line is he a nice guy? And he is a nice guy. He's public-spirited. He's a blood donor. He donates several pints of blood every week. Really.
It's not his blood, but hey, you know, he gets credit for it. We are listening to Those Were the Days. Now, Chuck Shaden is your usual host, has been for the last 25 years, but he's taking the day off. A lot of activities here at the museum today in connection with the Radio Hall of Fame induction, which takes place tomorrow night, and Chuck is involved in those activities, of course, but... Well, he'll be here, and he'll be off next week, too, but he'll be here 2 weeks from today. Right now, it's just Len Kunker at the controls, producing the show, and Larry Peters handling the phone and the paperwork, and I, just the three of us, we're operating with a sort of skeleton crew this Halloween. Get it, Halloween? Skeleton crew? Oh, nobody likes a good pun. I guess there is no such thing as a good pun. Well, anyway, this is WNIB Chicago and WNIZ Zion. And the show is yours every day from every Saturday from 1 until 5. If you tuned in late, you may know that I made a little bet. Our friend Boris is here this afternoon. He's staying for the whole show. He's stopped by at 1 o'clock. He's staying till 5. And I made a little bet with him. We didn't bet any money or anything. We just a friendly bet to see who would win the bet. I bet that he would faint from terror before the show was over because the program is so spooky today for Halloween. He's, no, nothing can faze me. I don't know. Boris, are you frightened yet? All these shows?
I don't frighten quite that easily.
Well, that was a terrifying tale we just had.
Why, that was a light romantic comedy.
How can you say that? And how about that Inner Sanctum show about the vampire? How about that?
Merely a humorous vignette.
What about The Whistler, The Haunted House? Didn't that give you goose pimples, huh?
I don't get goose pimples. I give them.
Yeah,
you
but...
You can't frighten me.
But don't you enjoy these gory stories?
I enjoy them immensely, but they don't frighten me.
Well, I still say that by the time this show is over at 5 o'clock, you'll be so scared that you'll pass out.
Do your worst, Alexander. What have you got coming up now?
Baby Snooks Halloween show.
Baby Snooks? But that's comedy.
Well, yeah, that's right. I thought we could use a little comic relief among all those mysteries.
It's a mystery to me why Chuck chose you to substitute for him today.
Well, after Baby Snooks, we do have a couple of classic mysteries. Suspense and Lights Out.
I'll punch your lights out if you don't come up with some frightening programs.
I still say you'll pass out from terror before this show is over, Boris.
We'll see about that.
Boris, you know that monster that Frankenstein built?
Of course. I portrayed him in the movies.
Well, is he still around? Is he still active today?
Why, certainly.
After all these years?
He's powered by an Ever-Ready battery.
Well, where is he living?
Right here in town. In fact, I've asked him to come down here this afternoon.
Frankenstein's monster coming here?
Why, yes. I just phoned him. He's tied up right now, but he expects to be free soon. He should be arriving in about an hour.
Oh, well, that would be great. Chuck Shaden has interviewed people of the magnitude of Jack Benny and Les Tremaine and Shirley Mitchell and Phil Harris and Gail Gordon and Eve Arden, but he's never interviewed Frankenstein's monster. That would be a real coup if he would come here this afternoon and say a few words to our Those Were the Days audience. About an hour, huh? I can hardly wait. And we're going back to December of 1949 in a moment for one of these suspense programs, the series
Pardon
Suspense.
Pardon me, sir. Do you have a match?
Oh, sorry. Oh, Peter, it's you. No, I don't have a match. Anyway, the Chicago Cultural Center is a smoke-free building, you see.
Oh, I don't want to smoke.
Well, what do you want a match for, then?
I use them to start fires.
Well, please don't start any fires around here. Speaking of fires, who is the lady? Is she your old flame?
No, as a matter of fact, this is my new flame, Medusa. Medusa, I'd like you to meet Mr. Alexander.
Oh, how do you do, Medusa? Well, what in the world? How rude. What is she laughing at, Peter? What's she laughing at?
She apparently is quite amused by your costume.
I'm not wearing any costume, and would you please ask Medusa to pick up her broom? Somebody might trip over it lying on the floor there.
Please move your broom, Medusa.
While you're here, Peter, I wonder if we might ask you for a little favor.
Why, certainly.
Well, I wonder, would you mind introducing our next program for us?
I would be happy to do that. However, you see, there might be a problem with mic fright.
Oh, you don't have to be afraid of the microphone.
I'm afraid that I expressed myself badly. You see, what I meant to say was that the microphone might be afraid of me.
Nonsense, Peter. Now, if you'll just say a few words about suspense, okay?
Very well. Suspense was one of the most popular of the radio mystery series. It was on the air for 20 years. The thrill of the nighttime, the hushed voice of the prowling step, the crime that is almost committed, the finger of suspicion pointing perhaps at the wrong man, the stir of nerves at the ticking of the clock, the rescue that might be too late, or the murderer that might get away. mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure. And all through the drama, the suspense is heightened. The knot slowly tightens. How will it end? The suspense, it's driving me sane.
Well, thank you, Peter. That was great. You've established the mood in great style. Thanks for dropping by.
It was a pleasure, Mr. Alexander. Goodbye. Come, Medusa. Oh, don't forget your broom.
Yeah, don't forget to take the witch along with you and the broom both. Well, it was nice of them to drop by anyway, although I think she was rather rude. Making fun of the costume that I'm not even wearing. Boris, you frightened yet? And he says no. We have a bet, you know, with Boris. Boris is in the studio this afternoon. We bet him that he'd pass out from sheer terror before 5 o'clock. We have so many spooky shows on the air. But he says, no, you can't faze me. I won't pass out. We didn't bet any money. We just made a friendly bet. And we have our own suspense show going here. We have about 44 minutes left until 5 o'clock. Will Boris pass out or will he not? He says, no, he's determined not to pass out. You can't scare Boris with a mystery show. He's done enough mysteries himself in the movies. Well, we have one more show. But before that, we were told, Boris said that he said the Frankenstein monster was going to appear in the studio. And here he is. He looks, he's a much better looking person than he is in the movies. Well, better looking, I mean, he's more impressive. I mean, he's more monstrous. Boy, he's a big man. Boris said he was tied up before. He really was tied up. Around his right ankle, he has a shackle. And attached to the shackle is a heavy, long chain, which he drags along with each footstep. And here he is. He's come over to our table. Well, it's good to see you, Mr. Monster. Say, I like your chain. Is that real iron? I hardly know what to say. Thanks for stopping by. Would you want to say a couple of words to our radio audience?
Trick or treat.
Oh, you're trick or treating. Well, let's see. I don't know what we can find to give you.
Food.
Yeah, well, we don't have much in the way of food. We gave all the candy away. We have a roasted chicken we're taking to Boris's party tonight, if you'd like a piece of chicken.
Food.
Yeah, well, all right, Mr. Monster. Can I cut you off a drumstick? Would you like a wing? How about a slice of white meat?
Food. Good.
Yeah, well, no, wait. You're taking the whole bird off the platter.
Food. Good.
Yeah, it is good chicken, but wait a minute. What are you doing? You can't... He's taking the whole chicken off the... I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. If you look at that. Larry? Len? How gross. Gag me with a spoon. He started at the neck. He's working his way down to the part that goes over the fence last. Bones and all. Chewing up the whole chicken. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I can't believe you ate the whole thing.
More food.
Well, there is no more food, Mr. Monster. You ate the entire chicken. Look, there's nothing left but an empty platter. Don't throw it on the floor. Mr. Monster, come on now. You have to cut that out.
More food.
Well, look, you want some dessert? You go to Marshall Fields. It's just one block west of here. Go to the candy department. It's in the basement. Ask them if they'll give you a Frango mint.
Frango. Good.
Yeah, their slogan used to be, give the lady what she wants. Now, maybe in your case, they'll amend that to read, give the monster what he wants. Go over there.
Frango mint. Good.
Yeah, Frango mint. Now, you stay away from the department where they sell the china, you know, the fine china and the crystal, okay? And thanks for visiting. Those were the days. Thanks
those
a lot.
Those were the days. Good.
Mr. Monster, we thank you very much for coming and making your contribution to our Halloween show. Boy, that was great. Beautiful. That was quite a coup. Chuck will be very proud of us, won't he, for having the Frankenstein monster on Those Were the Days. That is marvelous. Well, he's leaving the room, and I hope he finds his way to Marshall Fields, all right. We've had a lot of spooky stuff this afternoon on Those Were the Days for the Halloween show, and I guess that you may have been frightened by it.
Well, Ken, it appears that I've won our little bet, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly looks that way, Boris, yeah.
You bet me that this Halloween show would be so terrifying that I'd pass out before it was over.
Yeah, I know I did.
It's almost 5 o'clock.
Well, I was sure you'd be frightened. It was a pretty spooky show.
Indeed it was. But it would take a great deal more than that to frighten me. I've witnessed the most horrific deeds in my time. Why, I've perpetrated some of them myself in the movies.
Well, we did our very best to scare you, but I guess we just couldn't make you faint, could
we? It was a fine Halloween show, but nothing could be so scary as to cause me to pass out. Why, I have nerves of steel. I can take the most severe shock without so much as batting an eye.
Oh, I almost forgot, Boris. Chuck wanted me to pass this along to you.
What's this?
It's a new catalog of old-time radio tapes. Chuck said that you had requested one.
Why, yes, that's very kind of him.
I'll stop by next Saturday afternoon and thank Chuck in person.
Oh, I'm afraid you won't be able to do that, Boris.
And why not?
Because Chuck won't be here next week. I'll be subbing for him again.
You'll be doing the show?
Yes.
2 weeks in a row?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is scary. It's horrible. You hosting Those Were the Days again next Saturday? I think I'm going to...
The bet fair and square.
Ken Alexander on Those Were the Days Halloween show on WNIB from the Chicago Cultural Center studio, October 28, 1995. The amazing Mr. Alexander supplied all those voices. Len Kunkka was at the broadcast console, and you could hear Larry Peters in the background on the phone taking calls from listeners. Hope you enjoyed this first episode of Recollections at 50. There's more to come in the weeks to come. This is Chuck Shaden. Thanks for listening.